So tonight, I'm going to talk about, I was going to talk about relationships, but as time has gone on and Carol and I have talked, something else God put on my heart, and it was about time. And it, and the title of my lesson is Meaningful versus Urgent. Is time your friend or your foe? Because depending on how we choose to use our time, what we decide to do with our time, how we decide to live out our time, it depends on how we're going to react to that time. So I think about, you know, do we struggle with time? When we struggle to keep time in the present, we fall behind to the point of taking time away from future commitments. And this creates a time debt. And when a time debt happens, when we say yes to new things, when we haven't had time to complete the previous ones. I know all about time debt. And what really brought me to this moment is meaningful versus urgent is I've decided to take stock of my life and how I use my time and what I decide to devote my time to and what I decide to say yes and no to. Because for a long time, I had a hard time saying no. And the thing that made me decide to start saying no was, it was 10 years ago. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I asked one of my very best friends, I said, okay, I'm going to ask people to give me a good thing about myself and to give me something I should work on. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever decide to do that, you always have to pray first because you're not ready for what they're going to tell you. Because if they're a true friend, they're going to tell you the truth. And so when I asked my best friend Judith, I asked her, and she said, let me think. She was like, actually, let me pray about it, and I'm going to call you back. So she called me back, and she said, great heart, bad delivery. I was like, wow, great heart, bad delivery. I'm like, okay. So she said, let me explain. She said, you have a great heart, and you want to help everybody. She said, but what happens when you try to help everybody? You end up dropping the ball on somebody. And when you drop the ball on somebody, somebody else either is disappointed, they're hurt, or somebody has to pick up what I dropped off and make it happen. And when she told me that, it crushed me. It didn't crush me in a bad way. It crushed me because I was like, wow, this is coming from a good friend. So I decided to change my life and to do things differently. And I think in life, there are five big things that can really challenge our time. I just learned a new word. It's TIDS optimist. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that word, and it's a real word. It's Swedish, and it means time optimist. And it is a person who's habitually late because they think they have more time than they do. And I'm pretty sure there's some of us in this room who always think, ooh, I got to get to the airport. It only takes 30 minutes for me to get to the airport, so I'm going to leave exactly at that time, and then you run to the gate and you miss your plane. I see that all the time. Or you say, ooh, I have enough time to get to this wedding. So you get to the wedding, the bride's already walking down the aisle. Ooh, I have enough time to help these people out at a funeral that I told them to help out. By the time you get there, it's already done. And it's because people like that, it's like we have a lot of zeal for life and a lot of drive for activity, but it invokes an individual who's driven for passion. And they can't say no because they want to do everything. They want to be involved in everything. They don't want anybody to be sad. They want to try to make it work for everybody. However, when that happens, the damaging side is you arrive late. You miss deadlines. And you cause hurt and you cause bitterness and you cause anger in other people's hearts because they're having to deal with you and your lack of responsibility. And that's not what you're going for, but that's what it is. But if we decide in our lives to just take a step back and decide what's more meaningful, what am I supposed to do today? Sometimes we feel like if we say no to somebody, that it's a bad thing. It was funny because I was talking to some sisters the other day, and I told them, you know, I'm learning to say no or whatever. And one sister was like, yeah, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to, you know, make it sound nice. And so I was telling her, I don't say no with extra, because when I say no with extra, I then feel like I did something wrong, and then I try to still do what I said I wasn't going to do. So I had to learn that it's okay to say no. Jesus said no sometimes. I'm sorry, you can't hear it? Okay. Jesus said no sometimes. And it wasn't because he couldn't do it, because Jesus could do everything. But I think it was to teach us that sometimes you can't do everything and you have to allow people to help you. The next thing, the next area where I think there's some people where they get time challenged and time steals from you is people who are perfectionists. And when you're a perfectionist, what perfectionism causes is procrastination. Because you're trying to be perfect in whatever it is that you're doing, which is really rooted in a fear of making the wrong decision, so you don't make a decision. So you wait on the decision. And usually when you wait on the decision and you wait to do whatever it is you need to do, sometimes it costs you more. I have friends, and I know how it is because I know this person, this perfectionism person. And it's a struggle for the person who is that way because they don't want to be that way. However, they don't want to mess up. Well, this is life. We mess up and it's okay. When we don't decide to mess up, we rob ourselves of time and we rob somebody else of time. And sometimes we make it more costly to us because I've seen people say, "Ooh, I'm going to wait and buy this ticket." And then 2 days later, that ticket is double the price of what it was. Or I'm going to wait and tell this person something about them. And then that person is gone and you can't tell them that. And so for me, I've learned a lot in this time because my mom passed last year in June around on Father's Day, actually. She passed on Father's Day. And it was really a hard time. And the thing that helped me, because like, we were trying to plan all the stuff, and usually you have time to plan. Well, usually African-American people, we take like 5 days for a funeral. They're like, "Oh, we're going to bury her in 3 days. I'm like, okay, 3 days. So we didn't have time to be perfect. We didn't have time to figure it out or whatever. And it was so funny because people would be asking me questions. And I never forget, Judy Winbush was my saving grace. She was my saving grace. Judy came to my house and she sat there with me for 2 hours. She didn't say one word. She didn't say one word. But it helped me to use the time that I needed to get the things done. I wasn't trying to make it perfect. I was trying to make it what my mom wanted it to be. And it was great because I allowed other people to help me. I allowed them to take it. I didn't try to tell them what to do. I didn't want them to do it my way because I didn't have a way, because I didn't know how to plan a funeral for my mom because I didn't have a mom that passed before. And so I just decided to allow people to help me. So if you're a perfectionist and you want everything perfect and you got these high standards set, you got to understand that you probably impress this sometimes on your kids and it's challenging. And you want to take this off of them, because what happens is when you do this, you rob time. You rob time because people won't help you because they're thinking, "Oh, well, I have to do it her way. And if I don't do it her way, then it's not going to be right." So they don't even offer to help you. And then you get mad because you're like, "Why are you not helping me?" Then you're like Mary, because Mary was like, "Jesus, why ain't Mary helping me?" You know, Martha was like, "Why ain't she helping me? She, you know, I'm doing this, because Martha was being a perfectionist. But Mary decided she wasn't about perfection. Mary decided she wasn't about trying to do a false urgency. Mary decided she was going to do something meaningful with her time. And because she decided to do something meaningful, she sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha missed out on time with Jesus because she was so worried about making sure everything was perfect. The next one that I think can get us is over-responsibility. And over-responsibility is where you consistently doing for others what they can do for themselves. And I know probably this biggest area here is parents. Because even now, I hear parents who have teenagers who talk about how they do their laundry and they pick up their clothes, and because they have so much schooling and they have all this stuff to do. But if we're preparing our kids for life, they need to know how to do school and do their laundry and make a meal and deal with whatever it is they have going on, because that's real life and that's what we have to do. And what happens is when we pick up that responsibility that's not ours, we start doing it. We get angry. We get frustrated. We're mad. If we're wives, we're mad at our spouses. We're mad at the world. We're frustrated with everybody. Everybody's in my way. Get off of me. I'm tired. I'm bothered. Move. And you try to find a place to hide. But the truth is that you take on something that's not yours. And you got to decide that, you know what? I'm not going to take on things that don't belong to me. In, y'all should see these little pieces of paper I got. It's so funny. Let me see. My little scriptures. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Well, we're going to read through 34. So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the Bible tells us, do not worry. Because you know what? God has us. God has everything we need. So if we decide to seek first his kingdom, which is choosing the meaningful, which is choosing to make sure that everybody participates in what's going on. So instead of having responsibility, make everybody a party to what you have. Like I posted a video of Malachi, who's six, vacuuming, because he had to vacuum the kitchen eating area, the bar area, and the kitchen. And he wasn't happy, but I told him, that's okay, fake it till we make it. And I told the boys, I said, listen, because I had a house cleaner. I canceled the house cleaner. We had yard workers, canceled the yard workers. I said, I'm not hiring anybody, and I'm not paying anybody. I said, you guys live in this house. Your contribution to this house, because you don't go outside and work, your contribution is you have to do things in this house. So we all got together, and we started cleaning. And I think about, you know, the scripture talking about, you know, we don't need to worry about what we're going to wear. We don't need to worry about, but if we first seek God's kingdom. So if me and my kids and my husband, if we all pool our resources and each one of us takes a task, then it's less time. Nobody's angry. Nobody's frustrated. Then we have time to do what's meaningful and spend time with each other and spend time together. Instead of one person slaving all day long, cooking, cleaning, doing this, doing that, and then at the end of the day, fussing at everybody. Put that down. Leave it alone. Shut that door. Close this. Close that. I'm tired of y'all. I'm going to bed. Because that's how it ends, because we're so tired from cleaning up after everybody for the day. So the next one is approval addiction, excuse me. And this is the person who feels the need to please everybody. They feel the need to ask everybody, you know, what should I do? How should it be? So let's look at Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Come on, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So if you're a person who feels like you need somebody's approval, you really don't. The only approval you need is the approval of God. It is okay to ask for advice, but what you don't want to get into is asking a million people for advice because you feel like, ooh, I want to make sure that everybody approves of me, that everybody likes me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, everybody don't like you, and it's okay. We're not here to be liked. We're here to be like Jesus. And so the goal is for us is to just live for Jesus. Our goal is to please Jesus and not man. It's not about pleasing man, because we'll never please man. No matter how much, no matter how many people like us, even the people who do like us, they still don't like us sometimes. I mean, just be real, even yourself, because sometimes I tell George, I say, ooh, I'm so tired of my boss, but I'm my own boss. But I get on my own nerves sometimes. Because sometimes we challenge ourselves. If we know that we're doing things and we're not supposed to be doing, sometimes we challenge our own selves and we don't like it, but it's what we need. And sometimes people challenge us and we don't like it, but it's what we need. And so sometimes when we get challenged, we want to ask this person, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And what we should do is when somebody challenges us, pray about what they told us. Pray about it. Because usually if somebody tells you something, even if it's not all, everything is there's something in there for you to learn. There's something in there. And if you're a person who feels like that you need approval, I tell you what, just learn to be your own best friend. Learn to love yourself. Learn that an opinion is only a story, and you got to have your own convictions. You got to have your own convictions. You can't just live off of somebody else's. You got to decide, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because the moment it goes wrong, the first thing you want to do is point a finger. And it's not about pointing a finger. It's about learning from whatever it is that you've gone through. Because everything is a learning lesson. Think well of yourself. I mean, a lot of times we can think so bad of ourselves. Think well of yourself. If there's something about yourself you don't like, then change it. You don't have to live that way and you don't have to be that way. You can just change it. And it first starts with changing your mindset, making a decision to change it. And from the decision, you have to be intentional about changing it. Because sometimes we'll say we want to change, but then we'll be like, you know, we really didn't want to change. We just want to say it. But you got to start doing the actions to do it. You got to start doing that. Because I've been wanting to change my way for a long time, but I didn't. And one reason I didn't is because I didn't really do the things that it took to make it happen. I had a million, I call them reasons and not excuses. I had a million reasons why I didn't. And so now I have a million reasons why I'm going to. Because the biggest reason is, if I'm going to live longer for God and be able to do more for God, I got to be healthy. And so you got to find out, anytime you're doing something, and anytime you're changing something, you want to be something, you got to figure out, what's my why? Why do I want to do this? Because if your why is not big enough, you ain't going to change. Your why's got to be big, and your why's got to be scary. Oh, I'm sorry. Next, practice being you. Practice being you. It's okay to be you. People love you. It's okay to be you. Just be you. Because that's your truth. And you don't have to live by somebody else's truth. If somebody comes up and they tell you this is who you are, you can say, no, it's not. That's who I appear to be to you, but that's not who I am. You decide who you are. You decide your destiny. You decide if you're going to be like Jesus or if you're not going to be like Jesus. You decide if you're going to use your time for meaningful things. You decide. You decide if I'm going to spend time with family, or am I going to spend time running around doing a whole bunch of things that mean absolutely nothing? And this is the biggest thing that I can say. I remember one time we were talking about George and I, we had decided one year we were going to stop giving our kids a whole bunch of Christmas toys. And so we did this years ago, and we started spending only about $25 on our kids. That's all we spent. Because I'm like, we got in-laws, we got everybody giving them toys. We're not going to spend it. And then we decided that what we're going to use is vacations. because vacations were more meaningful. And the first time we took my kids on a vacation, we went to Florida. We went to Florida and we went to this place called Volcano Bay, and it's this it's like their swim place. So they have all these tunnels and the slides and everything that you can go down. And so me being the person that I am, I started taking pictures of everybody. I called it bees and bees. I called it bellies and butts. Because we happened to go during a time where there was a bunch of Europeans there. And so when we were riding the tram was basically saying, you cannot take your clothes off because Europeans are very free. And they like, so they kept saying that. And the boys are like, why are they saying that? I'm like, you'll understand later. And so we had a great time. So I was taking all these pictures. So we were going through them. We were laughing. We were having a good time. And the boys came up like a few months later and they said, you know what? They said that trip that we took to Florida, that was the best trip ever. And they didn't want to go on vacation. They're like, we don't want a vacation. They were, I mean, so crabby. But when we got there, we had a great time. We didn't go and do a whole bunch of stuff, but we did that one thing. But we did lots of stuff together. And then lately, we've been doing lots of stuff. We have them every Monday night. We spend time and we play Taboo. And they love that. That's like their favorite time. But it's their favorite time because it's meaningful. We're not having to go out and spend money. We're not having to go out and chase and go all over the place. We're just sitting in our house. And when we don't play Taboo, they say, oh, Mom, today's Monday. I'm like, okay, go get the cards. Because before we go to bed, we play our game of Taboo. And so it's like, choose what's meaningful, what's best. What are you going to remember? Years from now, what are you going to remember? Are you going to remember where you were running with the sisters, you running here, you running there, you tired? Are you going to remember that? Or are you going to remember the time that you took a moment to sit, not just stop and smell the roses, but sit and enjoy the view of the roses, get up, walk over, smell the roses, grab a cup of coffee, sit down, have a conversation, say you're going to leave, and 2 hours later, still standing there with the sisters having a conversation. And your children are saying, well, you said we was going to leave 2 hours ago. But that's what we're going to remember. We're going to remember the time. And my thing is, with all of us in the room, let's remember that time. Let's remember what's meaningful. Let's remember what's going to get us to our next journey. So our final scripture that we're going to close out with is Colossians 1, 9 through 12. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of the light. We have to decide. We have to decide to be intentional with our time. We have to decide to move from losing time to finding it. Your next move and how you spend it will decide on what you decide. Is time going to be your friend or is it going to be your foe? Is time going to be something that you draw near to or something that you run away from? Is time going to be something that you call up and you talk and you say how you're doing, or you think, ooh, I should have talked to that person yesterday, or I should have called them yesterday? It's going to make all the difference in the world. Now, I can tell you from where I'm standing right here that time is not always your friend. My mom passed away on Father's Day. The day she passed away, I was tired. I was super tired. I called up my sister because I was going to the hospital, and my mom was supposed to have a procedure. I called my mom up, called my sister, answered the phone. She was like, oh, she said, you know what? She said, don't worry. Don't come. They're not going to do it. You sound real tired, so just stay home. So you know what I did? I took that time that she gave me, and I thought to myself, my tiredness was more urgent to me than the meaningful moment for me to get my butt up out of that bed and go see my mama. 2 hours later, I received a phone call. Tammy, your mom is dead. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, people will tell you, you'll get over it. You'll get through it. I will get through it. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to always remember it. And I want to remember it. You know why I want to remember it? Because I don't want another meaningful moment like that to ever pass me by. Not ever. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. When my mom passed, I'm going to tell you what was meaningful for me. I am not a crier. And so just because she passed, I didn't cry. But I'm going to tell you what made me cry. And I didn't cry because my mom was sick and she was tired and she was ready to go. Because when I talked to her that day, she said, baby, she said, mommy is just tired. And I knew. But the thing that was meaningful for me was I was at the front of the church and there was Barb. There was Chloe. There was Sherry. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I've had a lot of deaths in my family since I've been in this ministry. I don't care. I've been to Jasper. I've been to Canton. There is always Sherry. Sherry has been everywhere. And Jasper is far. That's the country. But Sherry's always there. And the thing that touched me most, when I saw my best friends, I just broke down and cried. I cried because at that moment, that was what they chose to do with their time. They chose to spend that time with me. They chose to be meaningful and to take care of me. And if you could ever do that for somebody, that is the most precious thing in the world. And I will always remember that, and I will always share. So I probably every time I see Barb, I'm like, oh, I remember when you saw me, my mom. Yeah. But those are the times that we remember. Those are the times that we remember. And you guys want to make those memories. I tell you, young girls, your friends that you have now, don't lose those friends. Just because you move away and you go away, still maintain those strong friendships because they mean something. I've been with Karen since before she was married, before Ethan was born, and we got him. I say we because we adopted him. He peed all over me. But it's those moments that you always remember. It's people who you're connected like that. And when you're connected to somebody like that, you want to stay connected. And when there's new people, learn who else can you be connected like that to? Who else can you be close to? And so figure out, man, who can I give my heart to? And start spending some meaningful time. And stop allowing other things to steal your time. If you have a phone, when you go hang out with a friend, try turning it off. Because you know what we do? We look at it. We text. We do all this. Give that person your undivided attention. Give that person your heart. It's not hard. Because before we had phones, what did we do? I'll call you when I get home. I was without my phone for a whole week. And everybody was stressed about it but me. It was like, when you gonna get a phone? I'm ordering one. When are you going to get a phone? It's coming. I was happy to be without a phone because I got tired of people calling me all the time because I want to spend time with people. Like, I'm super excited about some of the new friends that I'm going to be making because some of my closest friends, they're not here anymore, and they're still my best friends, and they're still my closest friend, but they're not here. So I'm seeking out friends. So if anybody got some time and they want to be a friend, let me know. I already got a couple. I'm hanging out with Natalie. We hanging out. She helping me exercise. So just love people. Meaningful versus urgent. Make time your friend, not your foe. If you need help in this area, ask people to help you. That's it.